This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper and Murray, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And while Chris wipes down, decontaminates everything. I have to say, I get it now. I do. I get it. For years now, I've often wondered, when I get the occasional hate-filled tweet or email, how could someone feel that strongly about a complete stranger? Really, what's wrong with you? And admittedly, I've at times been oversensitive about it. I either chirp back, say something terrible, block someone on Twitter. But now I get it. Now I really get it, how you can feel that strongly about a complete stranger. Because I've never hated a complete stranger. Like, I hate that fathead who's on before us. The fellas! On the Fox Sports radio feed. Not only is that guy devoid of any talent and quick to respond to any comment by his poor co-host Lincoln Kennedy, who sounds like he's being held hostage with a gun, with an over-the-top, wow! Did you ever see the new movie with Adam Sandler? The Gems movie? No. Wow! It's offensive. He's offensive to me, really. How that guy has a career and puts out a product like that week in, week out. And I've never even heard his show that he does in Philadelphia. He apparently does like afternoons, midday, something in Philadelphia.
Isn't it highly rated?
Apparently so, yeah. It's offensive to me.
He probably makes more money than you do.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. It's offensive to me. And not much truly offends me. I've said this before. Weak handshakes, people that prefer fluff to jelly with their peanut butter, the continued rise of the robots, that's about it.
Oh, the robots, man. That's I warned you about that.
Oh, it's good.
This is just precipitating it.
Did you see the thing in Singapore?
Oh, I did see that, yeah. Robots don't get sick. I mean, I guess theoretically you can hack them and give them a virus, but this doesn't affect them. This is where we're headed.
But now we can add this
full demolition, man.
We can add this fathead Anthony Gargano to that list.
He'll just get replaced by a robot.
Good. Fine. Wow. Well, the robot, he can do the same thing. Have you ever seen the new show on Netflix everyone is talking about, Lincoln? Tiger King? No, robot fathead, I haven't. Wow. And I often get emails from young, aspiring broadcasters, Chris, asking, you know, hey, Big Jim, how do I get into radio? If I start a podcast, what should it sound like? Any tips you can give me? Okay, here's the tip. I'll give it to you right now.
I thought your first tip was go to a guitar store. Go to the guitar center.
Yeah, no, that's if you're a dick. Like, oh, you suck. I could do this. Okay, get yourself a good microphone. Spend like $300 or $400. Make sure it sounds good. Get a mixer. Use some audio editing software, GarageBand, which comes with any Mac will do, and then start your podcast and put it out there and no one will listen to it. Good luck. But here's the real advice for any young aspiring broadcaster. Listen to The Fellas on Fox Sports Radio and then do the complete opposite. There you go. You can't do any worse than that. Oh, my God. Holy Jesus. And I know I'm not alone, too, because people are tweeting at me like, can you guys come on earlier? Now, as it is, no. This 10 a.m. now during these corona times is most people's 7 a.m. Like, I'm very tired, but we're going to hammer through here. It's what we keep doing. 10 a.m. is very early to the kid, I'll tell you right now, because I'm just getting lazier by the day. Lazier and more broken brain by the day, if you haven't been able to tell. But, Jesus. I mean, I almost feel like we owe it to the audience, the great listening audience here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Maybe we should come in earlier so I don't have to listen to that. hey, Chris, what do you think of the schedule? You want to go through it? Have you seen the schedule? Wow!
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
And the other thing, while I'm ranting, and this is, I don't know how to say this without sounding morbid, it'll be, 21 years since, Mother's Day is tomorrow. Those of you have your moms, hopefully you're able to celebrate some way virtually. You send her something, some flowers, whatever. Obviously, we're all trapped. We can't go to restaurants and do the usual Mother's Day thing. This summer, 21 years without my mom, miss her dearly. But in a sick way, I miss her dearly. I wish she was here. But during this, she's almost like better off being gone. Like, I wouldn't want that poor woman to have to deal with this, what we're all going through day to day, the added stress of this. She was a worrywart. That's where I get that from anyway. My madness typically comes from my mom. My dad's kind of even Steven. My mom was the nutty one. I get that from her. She shouldn't have to deal with this. I wonder, do other people feel like that if you've lost loved ones? Do you feel like they're almost like looking down at you laughing? Like, ah, see? I was better off being gone because I don't have to deal with the nonsense, the continued madness of day to day as the seemingly the news gets worse every hour, every day. In a way, I feel that. Like, I had to admit that. Like, right now, 2020, living through COVID-19, these pandemic times, the woman's better off gone. She is. I felt the need to say that. I can't be alone in feeling that way because this sucks. Oh, does it suck? And you wake up to nature's cruel joke of snow today, too. Oh, God, it just gets worse every day.
May the 9th, snow.
Jesus. Oh, man. Oh,
2020, what a year, huh?
Yeah.
2020, the year of, wow!
I got to wake up to that fathead screaming in my face. Wow, Lincoln. Have you seen Righteous Gems or whatever the hell the movie's called? No. Wow! Oh, God. And then snow. And then, it's just... Oh, all right. Okay. I had to get that out of me, Chris. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, but I need to ask you, since you're on a roll, how did you feel about Mayor Walsh's proclamation yesterday about, no festivals, no concerts, nothing until Labor Day?
Well, again, I mean, it's bad news every single day, every single hour. I wasn't that surprised by it. I'm not going to be surprised come May 18th when they tell me that Massachusetts is still not open. I would think, though, it would be in the best interest to Governor Charlie Baker to at least give us something. If you're a restaurant owner, retail shop owner, something like that, like you got to start a little bit of phase one, right? Like you can't keep dangling that carrot in front of people and not expect them to get nuttier, Like I'm not, and I said it last week or the last few weeks, I'm certainly not for storming the gates at the state house and that kind of thing. But I understand people's frustration, and I think it's okay to be mad. I get it. So... Yeah, I wasn't that surprised. You? I don't think it's good for sports. Like, if you thought that fans were going to be able to go back, if they were to open up baseball, if they end up doing, what Major League Baseball is talking about and having their teams play in home stadiums. So if you thought you were going to be able to go to Fenway this summer, well, now that you hear that yesterday, well, you can forget that.
Like, he's a huge sports fan, by the way, Mayor Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And he even said, he didn't really see how you'd be able to go to Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Now maybe they can do something with the seats and social distancing and... maybe you can get, I was never good at math, but let's say maybe you can get 8,000 people in there, with social distancing. Maybe that's possible at some point. But it just goes back to something you said, very early on when the pandemic hit and we were asked to sort of quarantine. You were like, we're not going to have a summer. And it feels like that might be the case.
Chris, I'm starting to worry about if we're going to have a year. Or years, plural, and we'll get into this later. And I'm going to have Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston join us because typically he would join us during the Sports Hub Celtics show, which we would do at our usual time at noon. But, no Celtics, so it's been 2 months. We haven't talked to him, and I know he's talked to some of the Celtics players and been in touch with them. And there's this thing that comes out yesterday that Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, talks to some of the players throughout the league. And, I saw one. It like put me into a frenzy last night. Doesn't take much now. All you really got to do is just breathe on me for me to like freak the F out. But he said something along the lines of, don't be surprised that if there's no fans for NBA games in 2021.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, that's a typo, right? Like, that one's supposed to be a zero, right? 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 No. So 2021, like, what are we doing? What are we, really? Really?
Yeah. You and the lady will have to go a little longer without the VIP treatment at the Garden.
Yeah, Chris, you can put me in the 300s. I don't even care if I don't get to go. Can I just... Worse every day. Worse every day. I'm sorry. What are the silver linings right now? Where's the good in this? Not much. None. I don't see it. I don't know. I'm looking for hope. Anywhere, hope, silver lining, something, ray of sunshine. No, just snow. Snow.
I think the robots are a silver lining, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, the surveillance.
I saw your tweet about it. Anyone who doesn't smash this thing to pieces.
It's my, I really, that's not just playing it up for Twitter. Chris, I get such a visceral reaction to the robots, the surveillance robots. And if you don't know what we're talking about, just go to my Twitter feed. I retweeted it from last night. In Singapore, which is starting to open up slowly, like some of these Asian countries, like, you know, South Korea and that part of the world, they were ahead of it and handled it a hell of a lot better than we did. There's these folks in a park in Singapore, and here comes the exact little four-legged dog robot that you saw in that freaky episode of Black Mirror. Same thing that they make in Waltham, with a camera on it, basically telling people like, stay away from each other, 6 feet. Otherwise, it's going to stab you to death. These surveillance robots. If your reaction isn't to take black spray paint and spray paint over the camera or smash that thing into 1,000 pieces, you're not paying attention. I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. The rise of the robots, and maybe I've just had my brain broken by watching Terminator and all Black Mirror and all these things throughout my life. But if you're not afraid of the robots, I don't know. You're not paying attention. I hate them so much.
It's their planet now, Jim.
Ugh. And this is why I tell you. And Westworld, which is one of the reasons I stopped watching it. Why do I care about the robots and their feelings? I don't. Those robots are there for us to get shot and killed and done over and over and over again. The pleasure robots are for us so that we can do whatever the hell we want to them. Oh, but the robots got feelings. F the robots. God, do I hate them so much. Much like I hate that fathead before us. Oh, my. Wow. What'd you think of the ending of Westworld, Chris? Wow. Wow. Well, all right.
See, I know you don't know the ending because you still don't watch.
No, but I know it ended. Was it good?
Eh.
Yeah. See, yeah, it's got you. It's got you like a hooked fish.
I don't know really why you does. Keep watching that. I say, every week I go to my wife and I'm like, I'm done with that show. I'm swearing it off, and then I'll watch it the next week, and the episode's like semi good, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, Maeve, yeah, they're really punching up Maeve's plot line. And then I watch it, and then I see, like, I shook my head at the ending of this season, and I've sworn I'm not going to watch next season. You know that I read in, like, Variety that they have two more, they're going to get two more seasons. It's supposed to be a 5-season arc.
Ugh. Oh, God.
And I don't know what they're going to do.
I kind of knew what your answer was going to be, but just based on other people that I follow that watch it still on social media, they were people disgusted. Like, why? I don't know why I still watch this show.
Yeah.
And I just want to pat myself on the back and say, see, this is why I tapped out.
I hate myself. Like, I hate myself for watching it. And afterwards, I sort of curl into a ball and just rock in the corner. Like, why did I watch that? Why did I watch? Why can't I stop?
So I don't know, you know, I'm certainly less crazy than I was last week when I was, felt like a manic depressive and on the edge of a nervous breakdown, but still crazy, you know, cause I can't help but thinking, Chris, even though it's snowing, like the snow and this kind of weather on May 9th would be easier to deal with if we were able to go to Celtics playoff games, if, we should be going, to, Bruins playoff games right now. Like both of these teams, I would think, especially the Bruins, would be on their way to, a potential championship season, but we've had nothing now for 2+ months. And the little drips that do come through, like the, NFL schedule being released this week, it is a respite. You know, it's like you're in the desert looking for any kind of water. It's like, oh, an oasis ahead of me. Finally. Oh, yeah. We got something. But now that the schedule has been released, oh, boy.
You get the KBO. The German Bundesliga starts next Saturday. You know that while we do the show, I'll be watching those matches.
Yeah, good. At least it's live sports. And initially, I balked, no pun intended, at this the Korean Baseball League, the KBO. At least the highlights and some of the stuff that I've seen floating around on social media, kind of entertaining. I'm into the bat flips. I'm into the bat flips.
I love the bat flips.
And the flair that you get from a Korean baseball. And I don't know if... Again, looking for silver linings. Maybe, hopefully, Major League Baseball is paying attention to that. And because it's one of the only live sports going on right now, and the gambling community needs stuff to bet on, that they have an eye on this and say, like, oh, okay, maybe we shouldn't be such stodgy a-holes when we come back. You know, maybe we can actually add some, you know, fun back into Major League Baseball, because it looks like that KBO is kind of a cool product.
I watched a little bit of a game last night. And yeah, it's, you know, the quality of baseball is pretty good, and you're right about the flair. It's still strange, and it'll be strange for any sports league that reopens to not see any fans in the stands. It's still a little weird, but just, I watched a little of it last night on ESPN, and actually, it felt good. Like, I felt good. I mean, I didn't know who anybody was or what the storylines were, but you know, shortstop makes a nice bounce throw in the hole, you're like, oh, that's a good play. And, you know, the bat flips, the whole thing. Seems like a pretty good caliber of baseball.
Yeah, yeah, I'm into it. And Bundesliga, when that's back, really, whatever. The marble racing, when they, I've seen, you know, have you seen some of that? Like, Chris, I'm really, I'm starting to crack up. Like, I know I'm not alone, like sports fans. And those of us that hear, that work in sports radio or in this media, that, you know, we still got to come out and put on a show every single day. We're starting to crack up. Like, we need something. You got to give us something. So, German soccer, Korean baseball, whatever, I'll take it. The UFC event tonight, I don't know. Like, UFC to me, I'm still fringy with it. I still can't force myself to care all that much. The last pay-per-view for that I bought was it McGregor Diaz 2? Is that who it was? That was worth it. That was worth like the 60, 70 bucks that I paid. But otherwise, I don't know. I can't really get into it. You?
I'm not a UFC guy. Yeah. You know, nothing against it. I just, you know, you only have time for so many things. I just haven't made the time for that. I'll tell you what I have made the time for, though. After last week, you caught me by surprise. I am completely caught up on The Last Dance.
Ah, all right. Yeah, so I want to talk about that going forward. We'll talk about the Patriots schedule. You know, whatever the hell else. If you want to join us today, it's Chris Gasper, now of WCBB Channel 5. He is always steady Eddie, even keeled, and he's here with a crazy person on the brink. That would be yours truly, Jim Murray. Hi. So if you want to join the show at any point, 617-779-0985. It's the fellas here on the Sports Hub. Wow!
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Town Fair time.
No matter how you slice it, this was going to be a difficult schedule. But when you start looking at it on paper, there was no way to duck these opponents. I think, personally, after the bye, it's a feast. You go San Francisco and at Jets, at Miami. Yes, they're the Jets, but you still have to be on the road. And then you kick in Miami after that trip to Los Angeles and the trip to Houston. Phil?
When you combine the tough schedule with the early bye, it makes it really hard because you're looking after the bye. You've got San Francisco, the Bills, the Jets, okay, fine. Then you've got Baltimore, Houston, and Arizona. I think Arizona's going to be a pretty decent team. And then you're going to L.A. for a week. There are a couple things that are nice here, Michael, for the Patriots. I like the short week in L.A. You don't have to spend a week and a half there. You're Friday to Friday probably in L.A. And then you have 10 days before you have to go back to Miami and play Miami. I like that you're 4 out of your first 6 at home. I think that's beneficial to Jarrett Stidham and the Patriots. But Tom's right. There's no getting around this. This is going to be a tough schedule no matter how this thing's set up.
Couple of guys from NBC Sports Boston. You know them, you love them. Tom Curran, Phil Perry, talking about the Patriots schedule released around 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock on Thursday night. And it is worth talking about. We all knew it was going to be difficult. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. But the way it was slated, Chris, I found it particularly brutal. You know, we still don't technically know who the quarterback of the Patriots is going to be in 2020. I think it's going to be Jarrett Stidham. You feel like they've really greased the skids for this kid.
Yeah,
for a while.
I have some further thoughts on that the Stidham situation based on sort of our discussion on Felger and Maz yesterday.
But the way that this thing broke, just how it was slotted, ooh. And after the bye, like I was saying yesterday on Felger and Maz, I think one of the sneaky, brutal parts of it is that they get the bye week in week 6. And maybe you can make a case, maybe, if they do start Stidham and it's real wonky those first 5 weeks and, you know, you get this, you try to, you know, work out some of the kinks early and you fix that and you go forward because you're going to have a youngish team in certain areas, like, okay. But other than that, you always want it week 8, you know, week 8 or later. Getting it week 6, that's way, way too early. And then that slate afterwards that you open up at home with San Francisco. You're getting Baltimore in the prime time game. Then comes that West Coast trip. Houston, you have to go on the road for. Buffalo, you got to go on the road for. It's just like one after another. It's like, all right, maybe they surprise. Maybe they go 10-6, win the division, or 9-7 and squeak in. But I don't know. Like, I can't help feeling we're looking at maybe 7-9, 8-8 at best. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. You know, I'm saying 9-7. I'm giving Belichick the benefit of the doubt. You know, I believe in his acumen, and I think they'll find a way with some of these games. But this is a difficult schedule. You know, I'm usually not into the whole strength of schedule thing because it's based on last year. But I think it's legit, and it applies in this case. I mean, they have the toughest schedule on paper based on opponents' winning percentage in the NFL. And you're playing 6 playoff teams from last year in 7 games, because you play Buffalo twice and they're one of those playoff teams. And that stretch you mentioned after the bye, that five-game stretch, four of the six playoff teams that are on your schedule, you're going to play in that five-game stretch. The only team that didn't make the playoffs in that stretch is the Jets, and you're playing them on the road on a Monday night. And so I happen to think Sam Darnold's actually decent. I know you made him look really bad last year as he was coming off mono, but I actually think he's halfway decent as a player. So, I don't think that's a gimme game.
No, me
like
either.
It's been in the past.
No, and his rookie year, he flashed. I thought, I was like, ooh, this kid's going to end up being, once Brady's done or gone, going to end up being the best quarterback in the division. Now, he dipped last year, and I think Adam Gase is an idiot and has helped to try, help ruin him, unfortunately, a little bit. But I think he'd bounce back, so that's not a gimme, given that
story. I mean, I don't think it is. So that, to me, is really where the rubber meets the road. And the question for me at that point is, who's the quarterback? Is it Stidham? Is Stidham going to be the quarterback from the jump, or are they going to protect him? Or will he not be able to beat out Hoyer? You know, how are you going to do it? What is the scenario and the situation once you get to that stretch of the season? Because I think that's a real proving ground. And to your point about the bye, you know, we're focused so much on the quarterback position, and Stidham's obviously a younger quarterback, but the roster around him is older. Even with guys like Van Noy and Collins and obviously Brady gone, the strength of your team is on defense, and it's an older defense with guys like Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, Devin McCourty, Gilmore's in his 30s, Jason McCourty. So you don't have a young team. And to have a bye that early and then have to go through that stretch, I'm just curious how much they'll have left at the end, because I think the end is where they could end up getting to 9-7 and making the playoffs. You have those three division games at the end of the season. You have Miami on the 20th. You're down there. Tough place to play, but it's 10 days after your last game in L.A., so you have a little extra time there. Then you have Buffalo coming to your place on a Monday night. Again, you have an extra day to prepare for them, and you have them in your place, and then you finish up with the Jets at home, and who knows if the Jets have anything to play for at that point, or maybe you're both playing. You know, for maybe it's like 2002 when Brett Favre completely screwed us by bagging that game against the Jets and the Patriots didn't make the playoffs. I'm still mad about that. but maybe it's a scenario like that where it comes down to the wire with the Jets and the Patriots, but you're playing them at home. My fear is, I think that last stretch is really advantageous for them with those division games. I just don't know how much they're going to have left in the tank.
Yeah, and from hearing you, the way you're talking about it, I get the impression that you don't think that three-game road trip where it's two in L.A. and then in Miami is as difficult as some
of
the people
are. No, I don't.
Are.
No, I mean, I think you actually kind of catch a break there. I mean, you get the back-to-back L.A. games. So your Thursday night game, most of the teams that play Thursday night on the road, there's an issue of, oh, man, okay, we're going to lose a day of practice here and, like, travel. And they're not going to lose that. They'll already be in L.A. In fact, I don't know if you saw this, but the Rams are actually mad because they're playing, like, a Sunday night or they're playing like a Sunday road game, I think, before that Thursday night game. So basically, they're going to get to L.A. after the Patriots. Like, the Patriots will be in L.A. like waiting, and the Rams will come back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So the Rams are upset about that on the Thursday night. And then I think the 10 days you have to prep for going Miami. To Miami, to me, mitigates the idea that it's three road games in a row, which I know is rare.
Yeah. The other thing, too, you know, you mentioned yesterday on Felger and Maz how this team, you know, last year had difficulty with mobile quarterbacks. Remember what Lamar Jackson was able to do to them and pretty much every other team. But that little stretch, too, post-bye where it's Baltimore, Houston, then back home against Arizona, you're looking at Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray back-to-back-to-back. All right, you maybe want to argue like, well, you know, Belichick can install one defense, you know, starting in with Baltimore and then run with it the coming weeks afterwards because you're going to be dealing with mobile quarterbacks that can gouge you. I don't know. You can prepare all you want, but there's only so much you can do against guys like that.
I agree.
That part, I think, is so hard, maybe the hardest part of their whole schedule, where you deal with three quarterbacks like that back to back to back.
Yeah, I'm going to call it now. I don't know. You know, I'm going to call this. I'm not going to call the winner of the game. I think Kyler Murray is going to come here and have a huge game.
Yeah.
I just think
Felger thinks he's going to be the MVP of the league.
I agree with Felger. Not that he's going to be the MVP, but I think he's going to make a huge jump, especially with Hopkins there now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't look at that game as a gimme.
I don't
just
either.
Just because it's Arizona in November. Like, you know, now they add Hopkins. He's got a real weapon. Like, I don't know. The kid had a pretty decent season, especially towards the end.
The way 2020 is going, on November 29th, it will be 72 degrees and sunny.
Right. But your takeaways with Jared Stidham and that you feel like they're kind of greasing the skids for him. He didn't have any real competition. Cam Newton still out there. And, you know, now he's reportedly willing to take a backup job. Do you still think that's on the table, or this is it? It's going to be Stidham, not really going to be pushed. And should he start the season, even if he's not ready to go?
I don't think he's really going to be pushed, other than by Hoyer, a guy he beat out last year, allegedly. And when you look at what's happening here, I just don't see them bringing in Cam Newton. I think they should. I don't think they're going to. And I think Stidham should start the season. But this occurred to me when we were having this discussion on Felger and Maz yesterday. I feel like some people want to have it both ways with Stidham. In other words, when I look at the Patriots, you got to tell me what the plan is. The plan can't be, okay, Stidham's not really ready. He's going to sit for like 5 or 6 games and we're going to play Hoyer because we have to protect him. Well, if you think you have to protect him, then you need to bring in a better option other than Stidham than Brian Hoyer. You should be bringing in Andy Dalton or Cam Newton. Okay, if he needs to be protected, because you're not doing the proper service to the entire team if you do it that way. And then on the other side, if you're saying Stidham's the guy, like, you know, moving forward, that's fine. But also, he has to play and take his lumps. So, like, you can't have it both ways. It can't be like, well, Stidham's the guy, but he also needs to be protected. But it's totally cool that they don't sign Dalton or Newton, because that might in some way infringe upon Stidham's confidence. Well, which is it? He needs to be protected, or we're worried about infringing upon his confidence because he's the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You can't have it both ways. If you want to protect him and have another option there that buys him more time to marinate and be ready, I have no problem with that. But just make sure it's a legitimate option. Otherwise, with the roster you have now in Hoyer, the message you're sending is that it's Stidham's job to lose, and he's the guy no matter what. So, you know, to me, it's a fail. Like I said this yesterday, I'm evaluating this whole season based on, are they any closer to finding a legitimate franchise quarterback to succeed Brady? In other words, if Stidham starts from the jump and they go 6-10 and he takes his lumps, but by the end of the year, he looks legit, successful season to me. If they go 9-7 and make the playoffs and 14 of the games are started by Brian Hoyer, to me, that's a fail.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because you haven't given this kid a real chance.
You have no idea what he can do.
Yeah, it's another lost year, I would feel like. You got to put him out there and see if you have the next guy. I'm ultimately with you on that. If they went 5-11, 6-10, something like that, but Jared Stidham looked like kind of how Sam Darnold did at times during his rookie year, you know, like, oh, they got something there. Well, that's a win to me. You've found the next guy, and you have the building block going forward at the most important position. But yeah, if they started Hoyer, it's 10-6. Like, what is that?
Yeah, what are we doing? Yeah. And then the other thing, again, not to belabor the point, but if you're starting Hoyer to go 10-6 and make the playoffs, then it's like, well, why didn't you bring in a better quarterback?
Right.
Why didn't you bring in a Newton or a Dalton? Because maybe you could have gone 11-5, or maybe you'd have a legitimate chance. And this is not to knock Brian Hoyer. Like, I think Brian Hoyer is an excellent backup quarterback. I think if you need him to start a 5 or 6 game stretch behind somebody like a Tom Brady, that's a guy I want. He's really good insurance. But he started enough games in the NFL, and he's appeared enough that you sort of know what his ceiling is. Right?
Yeah.
And I think you have to find out what Stidham's ceiling is and how far along he is. And if Stidham's as good as a lot of people think he is, you're probably not going to see it right away in terms of him developing into like a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. There's a maturation process for all these guys, but he needs to play this year to get closer to whatever that ceiling is, you know, whatever the jump will be between the first year he's a full-time starter and the second. You need to accelerate that by actually playing him if he's the guy. And so I feel like there's just sort of mixed messaging and this idea, well, no matter what the Patriots do, you know, if they protect Stidham, like, that's the right thing for Belichick to do. You know, he can't lose. If he just plays him off the jump, well, they believe in him and he's really good and everybody thinks he's the future. So that's the right thing to do. So what are we doing? Why even have the show? He's right no matter what he does.
Yeah. Well,
what fun is that?
You know, that's how most people feel too. I do wonder, though, if by and large Patriots feel like they are in a win-win situation next year, even if they suck. We'll touch on that and get to your phone calls. You want to join us, got a couple open lines, 617-779-0985. We'll get to that next here on Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Gaspar and Murray. Gaspar and Murray. Gaspar and Murray. Gaspar and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gaspar and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gaspar Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So, I wonder if Patriots fans, by and large, look at next year as there's no losing. In other words, if you know they have a good successful season, they find out that Jarrett Stidham is the next guy post Tom Brady, and he's not going to be Tom Brady, obviously. But whatever, they have a successful season, Chris, and he's going to give them a chance to win going forward here next 5-10 years, right? They squeak into the playoffs, maybe win a game. Yay, we found the next guy. That's a win. But if they suck, and he sucks, and they really suck, well, people, I think, quickly are going to start hoping that they tank and start losing games so that they can end up with Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields out of Ohio State, who are going to be in the top five. Lawrence could end up being the number one overall pick. And you found your next quarterback, or at least there's some hope with a guy that is that highly touted, especially Lawrence, who's looked at as, you know, a lock a la Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning coming out of college. So you know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder, by and large, if Patriots fans look at next year and say, well, we can't lose anyway. If they find that they have the next guy in Stidham, that's gravy. And if they suck, well, it's win never for Trevor. We tank. We'll end up with the quarterback of the future anyway. So it's all good. So it's one of those things where Belichick can't lose.
I do think there is a way they can lose, though. And it's if Hoyer starts enough games that they're, like, mediocre, that they're 7-9, 8-8, you don't really learn about Stidham and you're not really in position to draft the quarterback of the future. And that's sort of my fear.
Even 6-10, 5-11 is not sucking enough. You're like, yeah, you got to be bad, bad.
Because then now you're sort of on the treadmill of mediocrity. You know, you're not good enough to really contend for a championship, but you're not bad enough to position yourself to draft a franchise quarterback early on in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the problem. They still have so much talent defensively, especially defensively in the secondary. Like, you know, if they got off to a bad start, and I think people would, if you say they were 1-3, I think, you know, you would have people being like, okay, start losing, lose, keep losing, keep losing, keep losing. So they're going to end up with Trevor Lawrence. They're not bad enough. Like, they don't, the roster's not gutted, you know? Like, they're they have too much talent.
No.
And they have Bill Belichick.
And that's all the more reason, again, I'll make this case. I know people don't like the player, whatever. But that's all the more reason for me that when I look at what Belichick said in 2014 about quarterbacks, a position where you want to have more than one, you don't want to leave yourself bare there. That's all the more reason to bring in someone like Cam Newton. And if it doesn't work and you're not good, you can just cut ties with him. It's a one-year deal. But if you find out that your team is pretty good and that he's actually pretty good and that you want to compete because you have enough to do it, then you can do that. And then, you know, here was Felger's point yesterday, was the idea of, you know, does Stidham need to play for them to figure out what they have? Now, I think to some degree he does. But if you're going to take his argument, even if you have Cam Newton, if Stidham's pushing Newton in practice or he's looking really good, then maybe you can learn a little something about him and contend at the same time. So that's, I think it's all about giving yourself options. I don't think you really know which way the season's going to go. They don't know. I mean, this is the difference post-Brady. When Brady was here, you'd look at that schedule, I think, as a fan, and you'd be like, okay, you know, what are the toughest games? Is there any chance they can go undefeated? And when's the Super Bowl? Like, that's when you look at the schedule. Yeah. You know, now this is different. You don't know. Like, the built-in expectations of the past are no longer apply. There's so many more variables and variances for their season. And that's why I would think if you're Belichick, you want to protect yourself in any of those situations so that you can go in any of those directions. And I don't really feel like they've done that at quarterback in terms of having a legitimate veteran option other than Stidham.
Ed, what do you think? You're first up here this morning on Gaspar Murray.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good.
Good. I have a few points to make, comments about the Patriots quarterback situation. I don't know, Gaspar, I'm with you, my friend. I'd love to see Cam Newton come in here because he's a potential beast at quarterback. He's got the resume. And my understanding is that physically his foot, they want to wait and see if he's in good health. And I don't know, you guys deal with the Patriots all the time. My question is, has a decision been made on who the are they going to hand the reins over to Stidham, or that's still undecided? Or and also another free agent possibility. How about Joe Flacco?
Well, and Ed, we'll work backwards there. Yeah. Flacco just apparently underwent neck surgery last month. He wouldn't be ready until September. I liked Flacco. I always thought he got too much of a unfair shake, you know. And I like some of that. The memes are funny, like is Flacco elite, all that. But I thought he was a good quarterback. I also think he's cooked now.
And I agree.
Coming off with a neck injury, like, no, I don't think Flacco's a real option. The second thing, have they already handed it over to Stidham? I mean, it certainly sounds like it, and it feels that way. I've already convinced myself he's the guy. Chris, you're not fully convinced of that.
Well, no, I mean, they've definitely set it up for him to eventually win, whether it's out of training camp or 4 weeks into the season or 2 weeks into the season. I mean, the whole thing's a setup for it eventually to be him. So what's interesting to me and what adds a little intrigue to it is this idea of, do they need to nurse him through it, and are they going to, you know, get two or three games into the season before they hand him the job? But the thing right now, the way it's set up, unless you bring in a Cam Newton, the message you're sending by not bringing in a veteran quarterback is that you're rigging this thing for Stidham to play during the regular season.
Zach in Newton, you're next here on Casper Murray. Hello, yeah. Zach.
Hello. Today.
Hey.
Good. Murray, you're firing me up this morning. So yesterday on Felger and Maz, Dr. What's-His-Name was on.
Paul Sex. Dr. Paul Sex.
Yes. Yeah, he was great. We need more of him. Can you make him a weekly guest, please?
Yeah, he. I think we initially asked, because he know. I don't know the whole backstory. Maz's sister, I believe, works at Brigham and Women's Hospital. That's how we have access to him. He's not available all the time. That we get him as much as we have been able to get him over the last couple of months has been kind of a godsend. So I'm with you. I wish we could have him more, but whenever we can get him, we'll take him.
Awesome. So his stance on, like we said, spot on. When Felger asked him about the sports, he stated he's an avid tennis fan and player, and that got me thinking. So tennis, I mean, come on. It's a sport that was actually invented and designed with social distancing and physical distancing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a freaking net between the two players, so just open it up.
Zach, I'm with you on that 100%. We finally got golf back, last state in the union where it was approved this week, so thankfully golfers like myself can get back out there. My plan is to maybe go on Thursday.
Nice.
Are there restrictions? Sure, but whatever, I'll take it. My hope, though, bigger picture, Chris, is that it does lead to more outdoor activities. Like, you know, again, Dr. Paul Sachs, he works, you know, he works with viruses. You know, this is what he knows. He was saying, like, can we have the tennis, please? Like, we stay away from each other. We're not playing doubles. If it's just one-on-one tennis, I don't think that people are going to be at the cage being like, let us in, you know? it's a sport that I think that people should be able to recreationally play right now. And the same with the basketball hoops. Like, you got to trust people not to have 5-on-5 games. Just like, you know,
bring back my basketball.
Take the zip ties off the hoops so that people can go clear their heads and shoot some basketball. You know, like, I don't think that's too much to ask. So my hope is that the golf will lead to, you know, more outdoor.
I'm trying to think, was it Maz, or I might be confusing or conflating something, but was it Maz who, like, either said he's playing hoops in his yard or posted like a photo or something?
He has a net in his driveway. Yeah, and he's posted videos of him dunking, although it's only about like 5 feet.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. So Maz in his you know, cushy palatial, you know, suburban abode, can play all the basketball he wants. Me, city dweller, living across the street from a park where they've taken a master lock and used it to lock the basketball court. I can't do anything.
Yeah, no, it's...
That sounds equitable.
Right, and it's very... it's an aggressive way to do it, too. Like, you're locking...
They padlock the court.
Or the zip ties over them so you can't play here.
Yeah.
Like, come on. What are we doing?
But we get Maz dunking with the neighborhood kids.
Yeah, open it up. Long commercial-free segment coming up next. Do you want to join us, talk about the Patriots quarterback situation? Do you think it's Stidham? Do you think it's fair? He's not really being pushed. Thoughts on the Patriots schedule? We'll take your thoughts on that. 617-779-0985. Also want to touch on a piece of sound. Bill Belichick talking to Rich Eisen when the schedule was released. Was it a not-so-sneaky shot that he took at Tom Brady again? We'll get to that next here on Gasper and Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
The question that I think a lot of people want to know is, you know, you in a post-Tom Brady world, Coach, how has that changed already the way that you do look at a season?
You know, we've played it other times. You know, without Tom, whether it was the 09 season, after he was injured, played 15 games with Castle and went 11-5, or, you know, heading into the 16 season with, Jimmy and then, Jacoby, and Tom coming back after the 4-game suspension. So, you know, there've been other points in time where we've dealt with that. We'll do what we always do, is try to, you know, prepare the team the best that we can, utilize our players and the skills that they have, and put ourselves in the best position we can to, you know, to be competitive and win. And so that's what we always do, and we'll continue to do that.
Wow! It's the dudes here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper. Wow, Chris! Belichick on the Zoom lays down the boom. Wow! I still can't help it. I still have to make fun of that show that's on before us. All right, so that clip of Bill Belichick with Rich Eisen that we just played, that was from when the schedule was released Thursday night. I thought it was really telling. I really did. Because Belichick, as we know, Chris, right? Like, you covered the team for a long time here now. He rarely, if ever, answers questions in depth, right? You got an in-depth answer there.
Yes. Yeah, he's loath to discuss the past.
Loath to discuss the past. He also discussed the past there. And in this instance, in mentioning the past, he mentions both the fact that Tom Brady missed a season due to injury, even though he got the year wrong, and that he was also suspended. Petty. And I'm actually for this. I know that Gary Tanguay wrote a big column on this on NBC Sports Boston. He's lost his mind about this, and he finds it childish on behalf of Belichick. And I do too, but I'm not mad about it. I want this to continue. I want these two to push each other while Tom is in Tampa and Belichick is in New England. I think this is what the best positive that comes from this, at least that I'm hoping for, is that these two parties are going to be so motivated that you're going to get the best out of both of them. Belichick's going to be trying to prove Tom Brady wrong by saying, I can win with anybody. See, with what he said, Hey, we're good. I don't need Tom to win. I've won with Tom without Tom before. I don't need him. And Brady has made some not-so-subtle shots as well, whether it's in the interview with Howard Stern about a month back or just, you know, how he's handled this whole situation over the last few months. So I think you're going to get the best out of both of them. Maybe Brady's going to play at an MVP level, and Bill Belichick's going to prove doubters wrong that he can win with Jarrett Stidham or even with Brian Hoyer. And that's that. That's what I think the best thing, possible thing is. But I want them to keep taking not-so-subtle shots at each other because I find it fun. I do. It's petty, sure, yeah, but I like the bitchiness behind it. I really do. And that was kind of bitchy.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting subplot of the season, right? I mean, it's been the debate in barbershops and around water coolers and at bars for years. Who's more important to the Patriots' success, Belichick or Brady? Chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
Well, now we sort of get to find out to some degree. And I think people, they're backing their candidates and they're eagerly anticipating how it's going to go. And I think there's even some excitement and anticipation for the participants, for Brady and Belichick, for the challenge, for two of the most competitive guys in the history of sports. I think they both want to prove that they can stand on their own.
And do you think that it's a false narrative, the way that Belichick talked about those seasons too?
Yeah, I mean, I here's what I would say. I covered that 08 season. It's one of the best coaching jobs I've ever seen. He did Daniels in bringing along Matt Cassel. But the reality is, yes, they won 11-5, but the year before with Brady, they had gone 18-1, or if you just want to go regular season, 16-0, and it was largely the same team, Asante Samuel wasn't there, but I mean, offensively, it was basically the same team. Now, Felger said yesterday, are you expecting to go 16-0 again? No, but the idea when that season started was this is the revenge tour, they're going to win it all. It was probably 15-1 in a Super Bowl. You didn't even make the playoffs. Unusual to not make it at 11-5, but you also had an easier schedule that year, and you didn't really beat any of the good teams.
Yeah, no, thank you. Preach. And to get to 11-5, the guy who I thought was a bum was no small achievement.
He wasn't a bum.
He made a Pro Bowl.
He did, as
an alternate. So did Andy Dalton, made three of them. He sucks too. That being said, so no small achievement, but it's maybe the most overrated year in sports for any team in my lifetime. The 11-5 team. Like you said, they lost every big game. They got waxed here by Pittsburgh. They weren't that good, and Cassel sucked. And it should have been the revenge tour. 15-1, go back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Probably win the damn thing. I think 08's overrated. So, yeah, no, I thought that's a bit of a false narrative that Belichick's trying to spew there when he's talking to Rich Eisen on Thursday night, I've had success without Brady. Have you? Have you really?
Well, it's just weird for Bill. I mean, Bill should take a lot of pride in that season because he did an excellent job, and I don't think anybody thought they would do that well. But just how competitive he is and such a bottom-line guy that he is and how high he sets the standard in the organization. It's just a little odd to hear him sort of crowing about a season where they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
Like, that's just out of character for him.
That's why I found it petty. So I'm not mad about it. I've gotten over the anger, you know, the feelings of anger towards Belichick. Like, oh, how dare you not bring Brady back? Now, you know, I think there's some bitchiness behind it on both sides, but I think it's going to bring out the best of them. I really do.
Well, I think Bill's whole thing, he'll never say this publicly, and you have to sort of read between the lines. But I think he feels like, I could have won a lot with a lot of quarterbacks.
Yes. Oh, I think that was evident when Garoppolo was here. What was the comment that he made?
It doesn't look all that different.
It doesn't look all that different.
Yeah.
That was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he thinks he can do this with anyone.
And I think Bill does have great appreciation for Tom. And he's, you know, I think he recognizes he's the greatest quarterback or one of the greatest of all time. But I think in his mind, Bill's like, well, I don't need the greatest quarterback of all time to have success on the level that I've had it. You know, I can have success with a lesser quarterback. We can debate the degree of that. You know, does it have to be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback? Is it a guy who's a bona fide franchise quarterback? I guess we're going to find out. But maybe he really thinks, like, you know what the scariest thing in the world to me is, you know, from a sports standpoint? Like, if he honestly thinks, like, we can win the Super Bowl with Brian Hoyer.
Oh, God. Oh, that is terrifying.
Now, that would be, I would call that hubris.
Yeah. Like, I need anything else to set me over the edge that it's going to be.
And
Brian,
that feels bad because I really like Brian and I don't want to knock him. I think he's good. And you sort of have to know, like, your station in life, right? You know, I'm good on a weekend show as the number two, but I'm not Michael Felger and I'm never going to be Michael Felger. And so that's kind of the difference. You can be good in your lane and that's fine, but we all have a ceiling and that's not a knock on Brian. He's good in his lane. But it's not fair to ask Brian Hoyer to go out there and be Aaron Rodgers Tom Brady, because that's not who he is.
No, that's true. All right, we'll get right to your calls after the Sports Hub headlines here as we get into hour number two of Gaspar Murray. You want to talk about the Patriots' schedule, whether or not you feel comfortable with Jarrett Stidham being the starting quarterback heading into 2020, if they even play these games. We'll get to that next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.